Thank you so much, Sarah. And Congressman Michoud, welcome.
Well, hello. How's everyone doing today, this evening?
We're doing great. We're glad to have you.
Yep, great to be here. Sorry a little bit late. My flight was delayed in D.C., Gatella, D.C., but I'm glad to be here talking with you and appreciate everyone who's on the line. First of all, I want to say that I'm very pleased that the Affordable Care Act had a rough rollout, but I was proud to support the Affordable Care Act, and I know some of you on the line probably were a little concerned whether I was going to support it or not, because I held out until the end, and primarily because of the way it treated Mainers, and a bunch of us was able to hold out long enough so we were able to get that enhanced reimbursement rate for Medicaid, and that's something I'm very proud of. And since the law has already been in effect, we're seeing a big change. For instance, Mainers on Medicare have saved $13 million on their prescriptions last year alone. That's an average savings of approximately $463, which is great. Early this week, I met with the Penobscot tribes, and I asked them how the Affordable Care Act affected the Penobscot Nation, and they said that they actually saved over $400,000, and they have much better health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act, and likewise with Passamaquoddy and the Penobscot saved over $275,000 with much better coverage. So Mainers are already seeing the advantage of the Affordable Care Act, and hopefully that the legislature will be able to move forward with the expansion under the Main Care program. That is not only the morally right thing to do, because it will cover approximately 70,000 people, but it's the fiscally responsible thing to do as well. Maine will save approximately $600 million over a 10-year time frame because of that expansion, as well as hospitals will receive an additional $348 million over that same time frame. It's a win-win all the way around, and during this whole campaign, that's one thing I've been talking about, is one of the first things I'll do as governor if the legislature cannot override the current governor's veto, when he vetoes the expansion, is to expand access under Main Care for the 70,000 people here in Maine who desperately need that health care as well. So I want to thank all of you once again for being on the call, and we'll be able to answer any questions that you might have.
Great. Thank you so much, Congressman. So we're now going to start taking some questions from folks who are on the line. And just a reminder to anyone who would like to ask a question, just go ahead and press 0, and you will be able to ask your question live on the line. So we're actually going to start with a question from John Rosenwald in Farmington. So, John, you are live on the line. Go ahead and ask your question.
Good evening, Congressman Michoud.
Hi, good evening, John.
I'm curious because many of us have been, of course, in support of the Affordable Care Act, but also interested in the possibility of moving towards a single-payer system. And there is a proposal in front of the legislature right now in favor of that. Would you be willing to support a single-payer system? And if not, why not?
Yeah, I definitely would look at it. Actually, I was talking to someone at the airport in D.C., as far as Vermont has a single-payer system, and definitely we'll be looking at that. Right now, I think what the legislature should focus on is expanding Medicaid under the current law and hopefully do an exchange. But I definitely would be looking at a single-payer system. During the whole debate, during the Affordable Care Act debate, I was trying to convince my colleagues and the president, and I lost, is would rather have the Medicare system, lower the age of Medicare, pick a number, whatever number they were going to use to save or put up for health care, just lower the age of Medicare. Everyone knows what Medicare is all about. Providers know how to bill Medicare, and actually it'll open up job opportunities. As I go around the state talking to folks who are are able to retire but are not retiring, and the only reason why they're not retiring because they don't have health care, you know, that's wrong. So the short answer is yes. It depends on how it's crafted. I'll be looking at the Vermont legislation. But right now, as far as legislators in Augusta, I think the focus should be on expanding the access under Affordable Care Act for those that are eligible under Maine Care. That should be the top priority right now.
Thank you so much, Congressman. So next up, we're going to hear a question from Stephen Sokol in Lewiston. So, Stephen, you are live on the line.
Thank you. Good evening, Congressman.
Good evening.
To hear your voice again. I wonder, is there any way we can put more pressure on the Republicans in the state legislature to try and convince them to change their votes and opinions, or at least some of them? Is it possible to have a meeting with them, to have a dialogue, to exchange ideas and perhaps sway them this way?
Yep. That's a good question. You know, as I mentioned, as I go around the state, that's one thing I bring up pretty much at every meeting I'm at, whether it's the Rotary Club, Chamber of Commerce meeting, or any meeting, is how important it is for the legislature to move forward with expanding access under the Maine Care program. And I talk about the benefits of the program, and I did actually, was at a Maine State Employees Association annual meeting, and Senator Roger Cates was there, who actually worked out the compromise last time around, and the governor vetoed it, and thanked him for doing that, and just encouraging your Republicans to support the expansion and to vote to override. I'm quite confident the governor will veto it again. The other thing I've been doing, Stephen, is actually as I get around and talking to different groups, healthcare and those in the healthcare area, whether it's CEOs of hospitals, I've been encouraging them as well to get a hold of their legislators and let them know the important part of expanding access to healthcare, what it would mean for them and their hospitals, because they will benefit tremendously by it. So, and I'll keep doing that, and hopefully we'll see the legislature move forward. Yes, I'll do it from elected governor, but the issue becomes when you look at the 100% match of the federal government, that is only good for the year 2014, 2015, and 2016. And then it'll drop down to ultimately 90%. So if we're going to take full advantage of the federal match at 100%, hopefully we'll see the legislature enact it and override any veto the government might give.
Great. Thank you so much, Congressman. Looks like we're getting a flood of questions about the same thing, so I'll just share a summary here. So a number of folks are on the line asking, Congressman, if you have some advice about how the federal delegation might help us assure our legislators here in Maine that the money will be there. In other words, the Republicans and legislature keep insisting there's a cost issue here. So wondering if you have advice from being a part of a lot of the conversations in Washington about the best response to that.
Yep. That's a good response, because I know that's one of the areas the governor said he'd veto it because he can't trust the federal government. Well, over three decades, because I went back and actually looked. The governor said the federal government will cut back on the response. There was only once in the last 35 years that the federal government actually cut Medicaid match rates, and that was in 1981 when Congress provided a temporary reduction in the rate, and that was later restored. What the governor has been talking about is actually during the stimulus bill, Recovery Act funds, what Congress did was we actually enhanced the reimbursement rate. So Maine went from about 63% up to 75%, 75% reimbursement rate under Medicare. And we made it clear at that time that that was a one-time increase in federal reimbursement rates to state. That one time actually became twice. We did it twice. So as far as the federal government cutting back, extremely highly unlikely. And all you got to do is go back and look over decades, and you'll see that that has not been the case. The second issue is the fact that even though a lot of Republican governors across the country decided to fight the Affordable Care Act in court and lost out, they are participating in the program. There are a few Republican governors who are not, but the bulk of them actually are participating in the program. And when you look at the Republican-controlled Congress now, and with the Republican governors around the country, the bottom line is, you know, I don't see Congress, you know, reducing the Medicaid, you know, funding, you know, in future years. So it's highly unlikely. It has not been the case. What Governor Gates has been talking about is totally smoke and mirrors, and look forward to the debate on the campaign trail to actually get the facts out there about what has happened in the Medicaid area.
Great, thank you. I think a lot of folks are looking forward to those debates. So I just want to remind folks on the call tonight, you can press zero at any time here if you'd like to ask a question of Congressman Mishu. And next, we're going to go to Davida Amerman in Madison. So Davida, you are live on the line to ask your question. Do we have Davida in Madison? Okay. So I think we're actually going to go to another question then. Let's hear from Herb Adams in Portland.
Hi,
we have Herb Adams in Portland.
Down here in Portland. Hello. Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes. Hi, how are you doing, Herb?
Very good. Thank you, Mike. Mike, my union at the community college system just finished its first negotiation and signed its first contract. I was on the negotiating team, and it was a real bear. One of the things that our union members very much wanted to talk about was the access to health care, of course. And it turns out now that the employer mandate that would have said under the Affordable Care Act that such must be offered has been delayed until 2015 for employers that have 50 employees or more. Now, there's hundreds of us in the community college system, but that's a stone wall we hit. Now, about that, putting it off to 2015, are you aware of, have you heard anything about, and what can we do about making sure that that deadline in 2015 isn't pushed off further, or that the opponents of healthcare overall just going to train their guns on the fact that that employer mandate exists at all?
Yeah. Well, actually, I will not be there in 2015, so I'm not sure what the makeup of Congress will be at that point in time. I think you know, the president made it very clear he's under a lot of pressure, and they ultimately decided to move that date out to 2015 for the employer. Between now and 2015, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot of the benefits under the Affordable Care Act come into play, and people are going to start realizing that actually it is working, and therefore there will be less attempt to start messing around with any further delays in the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. As far as whether or not it's going to get pushed out more, the president will still be in office, so he definitely has the veto you know, pen to veto anything. The House looks like it still will be in Republican control, so therefore we probably will still start getting or continue to get more bills in dealing with the Affordable Care Act. Hopefully it'll be less and less as we go on. If you remember at the beginning of this Congress, we had several bills. We voted over 40-some-odd times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and everything was tied to the Affordable Care Act. Quite frankly, that's one of the reasons why the shutdown occurred. And since that shutdown occurred, when we dealt with the budget, when we dealt with the appropriation bill, you know, these really hasn't been tied to the Affordable Care Act. So I think the Republicans have learned their lesson, some Republicans, not all, have learned their lesson with tying bills to the Affordable Care Act and causing the problems that were caused. I can't answer that for certain, Herb. I doubt very much that it will get extended again, but we'll see.
Great. Thank you, Congressman. Again, folks can press zero if they'd like to ask a question, and we're going to try again with Davida in Madison. Davida, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. We can hear you. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, Congressman Michaud. I represent the transgender community. My name is Davida Ammerman, and I live in Madison, and I'm just wondering, right now there is no guarantee of insurance coverage for transgender medical issues, like they have recently introduced in California and in Vermont. I'm just wondering, would you support a bill that would guarantee transgender people insurance coverage in the state?
Yeah, as far as the under the Affordable Care Act, you're saying that it's not covered?
Well, I don't know about the Affordable Care Act. I'm just wondering about the any kind of bills that's running through the state legislature at this point. I have been lobbying with the MPA on the health care issue, and I've been involved in the Healthcare as a Human Rights campaign for over a year. I just want to get a guarantee that transgender people will be included in the debate on healthcare here in Maine.
Yeah, I know under the ender at the federal level, we're definitely trying to get that included at the federal level, and I definitely will look at it at the state level. I'm unaware of, and I don't know if there's ever been anything introduced at the state level, but definitely would look at that. I know right now that's what we're trying to deal when you look at discrimination, at the federal level, trying to have, in the past, we met with a speaker because it's something that should be done not only in individual states, but all states, discrimination should not be occurring in any state. And we're focusing right now on the, at the federal level, on getting INDOPASS, make it all inclusive. And we did have a meeting with a speaker, actually, about 6 months, about a month ago, and even though the speaker said that he's not going to bring up INDA before the election, we asked him, he had some questions about whether or not discrimination within healthcare or other areas is really out there. He's under the impression that it's not, that's already covered. We told him that it's not, and we're going to get him some information. But the long and the short of it is, as far as doing the national in their bill, it will not happen before the election. We've asked them if they'd consider after the election in the lame duck session to address that very issue, and hopefully we'll have some type of answer. The short answer is yes, I do think it should be a part of that whole discussion in the healthcare area, and we'll definitely look at it at the state level if we can't get something at the federal level.
Great. So next we're going to go to Susan Alexa in Bangor. Susan, you're live on the line.
Hi, thank you very much. My question is regarding kind of a side with the Recovery Act, and I saw that you were in support of promoting community health care centers under the Recovery Act and ensuring that funding is crucial to not only the economy, but to our communities. And here in Bangor, Maine, we have the community healthcare centers that are trying to create programs or already have programs in place that are helping those that are displaced. And I do want to preference, I am one of those 70,000 that lost healthcare on December 31st. So going to my community health care center was an area where I had questions. And knowing that the Recovery Act put $2 billion in that particular act to help fund. Is this something you're in support in? Do you think that this particular portion could help make up the difference when it comes to after the three-year term period of 2014, 15, and 16? Should we be able to get Medicaid expansion in the state of Maine to help offset the 10% that would have to come in from the state?
Yeah, no, I've always been very supportive of our, you know, community health care, clinics, the federally qualified health care clinics, and not only under the Recovery Act funds, but also under the Affordable Care Act, there is a large amount of money in those programs, and we'll continue to make sure that they're adequately funded, because healthcare in rural areas, that is a huge issue, and because particularly when you look at Maine, being the oldest state in the country per capita, access to healthcare, the only way that people can get it is through the FQHCs and these rural hospitals, and I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that, make sure that that is adequately funded. Because one of the things some of my colleagues in Congress are doing is looking at if they can't repeal the Affordable Care Act or eliminate some of the portions of it, the only way they're going to get around that is by actually cutting it, cutting funding from it to make it very difficult for states and federal government to implement these very important programs.
Great. Thank you. Next up, we're going to go to Chris Johnson in Old Orchard Beach. Chris, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing this evening?
Well, Congressman, I'm very well, and I'm so pleased to have received this call. It's the very first time I've ever been contacted by an organization to be on such a conference call. It's a great pleasure. And I want to thank Jesse and Amy, and particularly the political engagement director, because I thought this was a brilliant idea. My question is really kind of easy. I'm an attorney.
That's good.
And I did this in financial services. Notwithstanding that, I'm sick and tired of talking about whether expanding Medicaid in Maine is going to cost a little more or a little less, and what the fine points of a voluminous document are legally. I wondered if you might take a moment to explain your thoughts on something other than finances or legal verbiage in the ACA. Aren't there other good reasons that we've got to expand Medicaid in Maine?
Yeah. I mean, it's the morally right thing to do. And that's something that why I'm such a strong supporter of the ACA and or a single-payer health care system, that it's the morally right thing to do. And different audiences will react to certain things. When you talk to business community, because they're looking at what it means to them for business. Economically, this is the right thing to do. The reasons why Canada actually has some of the expansion back, I think it was 2000, a while back, Toyota was looking at expanding their facilities here. And they decided to go to Canada. And the two reasons why they decided to go to Canada was because of the education. They were tired of training their workers by drawing diagrams was the first reason. The second reason they said they went to Canada is because of the health care. And that's an area where I know a lot of businesses don't want to have to deal with health care. And if we expand, whether it's the single-payer system, Medicare to more people, something definitely has to be done, and we definitely will be talking about that in this campaign, primarily because our governor has not talked about it in the way that it should be talked about it. So, but savings are important, but it's not all about money. It's about expanding health care to Mainers, and it's a morally right thing to do, and we'll definitely look forward to that debate with the governor this upcoming. upcoming campaign.
Thank you, Congressman, and thank you, Chris. We at Maine People's Alliance have been working really hard to talk about the moral implications of this battle. So thank you. So next, we're gonna go to Judy in Frenchville. Judy, you're on the line.
And
hi.
I'm sorry, Amy. Judy. This is Matt. I tried to send you a message as well, but just want to make sure you're aware of the time. The Congressman does have to do another call. So this will probably have to be the last question.
No problem.
Well, yeah. Bonsoir, Congressman Mike Michaud. Comment ça va ce soir? C'est bien?
Bonjour, Mademoiselle Sarah G. Très bien, merci.
I guess I was tagging along with my thing about what can you do to help the legislators right now. You did cover that by saying that whenever you speak to an audience in Maine, you do encourage people to talk to their legislators. Do you see another role for you? Is there any other way you can get in there to help us out with this? Every day, I'm still doing constituent work. Every day I encounter people who have been taken away. Today was a young man who's without his psychotropic meds and his hypertensive meds. That is an accident waiting to happen. It's not going to be an accident. It's a deliberate harming of innocent people, people who have worked all their lives very hard. Because as you know, we have the natural product industry, and people work very hard in the woods and everything else. And when they get sick, it's really bad. So.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Judy. And that's why when I first announced my candidacy to run for governor, I highlighted the expansion for Medicaid. And as I mentioned earlier, will continue to talk about it when I meet the different organizations and groups and how important it is, and encourage those groups to get a hold of their legislators as well to get them on board with this. We've done several op-ed pieces, and we'll continue to do op-ed pieces on this very important issue. And hopefully they'll be able to get it done in this legislative session, so that way they can take advantage of the 100%. As far as whether or not the governor's going to be able to hold the Republicans in line once he vetoes the bill, I don't know. But if you look at the governor's approval rating, they're not very good, and that this is an election year. Hopefully some of the Republicans in the legislature will start doing the right thing and the morally right thing to do and the fiscally responsible thing to do and expand that access to health care. And we'll just keep trying. And I know the hospitals last time around really were not up top of this because they were looking at the payment to the hospitals, but they know the economic advantage of this, and hopefully they'll play a more active role in this legislative session to get Republicans and Democrats on board and do the right thing. We're going to keep talking about it, debating it, and hopefully we can get it done this year.
Great. So it seems like we're going to need to wrap up the call here, but I really want to thank everyone, the hundreds of people who joined us on the phone tonight, as well as the congressman. This campaign is so important to 70,000 Mainers who want to live healthier, but as Chris and Old Orchard Beach said, it's really important for those of us who really believe that healthcare is a human right. So thank you again to hundreds of folks that joined on the phone, to Gail and to Sarah for sharing their stories, for everyone for participating, and Congressman for making the time to join us tonight. I know that we could not get to every question that folks had, so if anyone has a question that they did not get a chance to ask tonight, please stay on the line, and you'll be able to leave a message at the end of the call, and we can get the answers to you. So, again, thanks, everyone, for joining us tonight, and we hope to see you all in Augusta soon. Let's pass this bill. Thank you.
Yeah, and I, too, want to thank everyone for being on the phone and for Maine's People Alliance as well for putting this together. It really does mean a lot, and I do know that there is a bill in the legislature on the single-payer health care system. As I mentioned, I don't think with the current administration that will move forward, but one of the things, areas I would like to talk about the folks that are on the line is look at what Vermont's done, and as you move forward in 2015 to see what is the right way to go to actually expand health care more than what it currently is for people here in the state of Maine. So once again, thank everyone for participating.
Thank you, Congressman. We are ready to be the next Vermont and have a new governor. Thank you so much. And thanks to everyone for joining. Have a great night.